Welcome. Today we are joined by Fadi Dawood and Alexi Korpela. They will be discussing the American primaries, Super Tuesday.
Yeah, so today is Super Tuesday and a whole bunch of states, they're all voting to pick delegates to choose the next nominee for both the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah, and it's a total of 13 states and one American territory, and they are competing for
the prized crown, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? Actually, one of the interesting ones, I think, which everybody's talking about now, is Donald Trump. And everybody's calling Donald Trump the next winner of the Republican nomination. I somehow highly doubt that.
Why do you doubt that?
I think at the end of the day, the Republicans are going to wake up and say, this guy's a racist, this guy's a bombastic, you know, nut job, and they're going to have to consolidate their interest in either Rubio or Cruz, and their support behind either Rubio or Cruz.
But, like, all polling suggests that that's not happening. His support is not failing at all. People love him because of his populistic appeal.
I really don't understand. I really don't understand that. I mean, he seems like a comedy act when he's talking.
Yeah, but then again, if you look at his voter demographics, it's mainly like the older white generations living in rural America. That's his, like...
base.
Yeah, that's his base. So, you know, he gets almost no support. I think his support, like, from under 25-year-olds is, like, less than 5%. It's very low. Like, compared to Bernie Sanders, who has, like, I think 30% from that category. So,
well, don't forget, though, older people vote, younger people don't. So in the long run, it's actually better to have older people support rather the younger people support.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the interesting ones that I'm actually looking at the Democratic primary, we shouldn't forget that one. I don't think it's a lock for Hillary at this point. And yes, she's very far ahead of Bernie Sanders, but we'll be interested to see what happens today, if he actually manages to pick up some steam. I know people doubt that, but...
I actually have to disagree, because all the polling suggests, at least in the South, that Hillary will, like, crush Bernie Sanders, like, with a margin of 85 to 95%. Of course, Bernie will win, like, Vermont and probably North Virginia, but the places with the majority of the delegates... Hillary can win them a lot easier. It's the chances for her getting the delegate she needs to have a majority, it's pretty sound.
Especially with the super delegates, she has a lot of them. But interestingly, Obama lost the popular vote in last super in 2008 during the primary season. He lost Super Tuesday's popular vote, but he won the most delegates because he managed to win the most states and most contests. So it should be interesting to see how this translates tonight. I mean, you know, regardless of what happens, I think Hillary and Bernie Sanders are bringing two different perspectives on a very similar political approach to both foreign policy and internal policy, but very different approaches to doing the same policies, despite how people are putting them as very different and very separate from each other, and Bernie Sanders is a socialist and Hillary Clinton is part of the establishment. I don't think they're a whole lot that different between them.
No, there doesn't seem to be that much variation in, let's say, foreign policy. Many people dismiss Bernie Sanders as, oh, he doesn't know anything about foreign policy. He's all about, you know, domestic
economics.
I voted
against the war in Iraq, and yeah.
Well, yeah, but many of his stuff, like, people say, oh, he's not fit to be commander-in-chief. Well, actually, you know, he's not proposing substantial cuts to the military. Not really. Not, for instance, the nuclear trident. He's not going to cut that. And many of his... the role he sees for America in foreign policy, it doesn't that much differ from Hillary. Hillary is more of a hawk, but it's a difference in degree, not like polar opposites.
And don't forget, it's just a difference in approach in a way. I mean, she's more assertive probably, but don't forget she does have that experience as Secretary of State, where he has been just an elected official. Yes, he's been a senator, but he hasn't really had any responsibility for foreign policy. And I think that's also a reason why. You know, he's underestimated in that sense.
What do you think about Rubio and Cruz? Who do you think is going to come out on top or, like, come out second after Trump?
Honestly, I think Cruz, because it's the Deep South, and his religious appeal might actually win him some favors in some of the southern Bible Belt states. But logically speaking, I think the Republicans have a very good choice in Rubio. He's moderate, or at least somewhat moderate. He is young, he's educated, he's charismatic, and he does have that Hispanic background that actually would appeal to a very large number of individuals living in the states now that can actually, it's a block of votes that can actually swing elections in their favor. And somehow they're not capitalizing on that one.
Yeah, it's always a strange thing when, you know, reason, like, is not followed in a way you would expect it to be followed. It's more of the other factors that are come out on top. But I think the consequence of Rubio coming in third, it might take away from the GOP leadership's eventual nomination of an alternative to Trump, because they're not exactly on favorable terms with Cruz either way. So, you know, if Rubio doesn't get a close lead to Trump, they might just go with Trump. And that, I think, is a potentially a danger for the Republican Party, because...
I wonder if Trump actually were to win the nomination, would there be a third candidate running against Trump on the right of the spectrum in order to counter the crazy that is coming out of Trump?
Wait, what do you mean, like running within the Republican Party?
No, but running as an independent, on an independent ticket, but sort of to counter Donald Trump's radical approach to domestic and foreign policy at the same time.
But there doesn't seem to be anybody currently in the race that could do that. There's no one more conservative than Trump currently in the GOP primaries. Because all of them have dropped out, like Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, I don't mean more right wing. I mean somebody just to counter somebody on the right of the spectrum. I mean, not necessarily right of Trump, but actually probably left of Trump. Somebody who's a moderate, quote unquote.
Yeah, it seems unlikely because nobody has the same appeal to the independent voters as perhaps Trump would have, because his appeal is so grassroots. It's so, you know, it's populist, and that's why
it absolutely is. It's populist to the core. I mean, that's the key to his success. That sort of, if you hear him speak, the ease of style that he's speaking. I mean, it's like somebody's crazy uncle speaking in the living room. It just sounds like that.
Yeah, so it has those elements of like nativism appealing to a forgotten heartland that is like, you know, the heartland USA. Also, this sense of the crisis where we've lost our national greatness. We need to make America great again. That we're losing on all fronts, which is not exactly true. But he creates with his rhetoric, which is very powerful because it's very folksy. It's very relatable. It's very artless almost. It seems like it's coming from his heart. You know, the purpose of all this rhetoric is to kind of capture the American imagination that, oh yeah, we are in a state of crisis, and Trump, he is this strong figure that can, you know, lead us out of it, even though he hasn't, you know, exactly proposed any specific policy solutions. I mean, to the degree that it would actually count as a policy proposal. Rather, he's just said, on my first day of office, I will know more about, you know, Hezbollah and Hamas than anybody else. Well, that's not how it works, but people seem to buy it.
Yeah. And actually, the other thing that actually I'm bewildered about this whole nomination process, especially on the Republican side, is the massive amount of, the massive amount of appeal that Trump is having on individuals that have never voted before, or individuals who actually have never been real supporters of the Republican Party, are now emerging and saying, I'm going to support the Republican Party, which speaks to that populist message, which is actually kind of scary in a way, if you think about it. Because if a popular message is what motivates people, there's a big problem in the way that democracy and politics are being done in the States. And, we can parlay that into Canada's sort of Canada's problem, where, you know, we have had many years of these populist messages that have had a pretty dangerous effect on the politics themselves and on democracy, on the health of democracy, as a result of these populist messages. And that's actually happening in the States now. And it just says that the actual idea of the democratic system that they have will suffer if this is how campaigns are going to be led, with by people who are, you know, who might not seem very qualified to hold, you know, the presidency, for example.
Yeah, I guess there's that, the whole aspect of what counts as democratic, because I think, like, Trump supporters would argue that, you know, Trump is, or, you know, the usual argument from populists is, let's say, we're becoming more democratic because we're more grassroots, we're more involved, we're for more direct decision-making, you know, we're for a man of the people. The downside of that is it's a move away from professional politics. Now, in academic circles, people argue that, well, you know, professional politics is alienating to the common individual, you
Absolutely.
Know? And that's why, you know, we should have, some people propose we should have, like, amateur politicians to kind of offset that. But in a world as complex as ours, and given that states are run, or running a state is very complex.
Absolutely.
You need people who are actually well-informed of, you know, issues. Essentially, you want people, not necessarily technocrats, but very, very well-informed individuals. So it's always these individuals who do not have these, you know, capabilities, requisite learning, you should always view them with suspicion and kind of de-emphasize their, you know, rhetorical appeal, you know, how they make you feel, instead of just looking at, you know, what do they propose? Is this proposal based on research? So will it work? That is more important.
I think it's all interesting, and we're talking about the primary, but I think one of the things that to watch for today is sort of the demographic split on how people are going to be voting in the primaries. And I say that because in the States it seems income, class, and race play a very important role in the way people vote, even more so than anywhere else I've seen. And it will be very interesting to see how people vote and what type of people vote for whom today, because I think that will have an indication on the final election in November.
Yeah.
And you know, who people are going to back and how they're going to back them. Yeah. So I think ultimately, regardless of who becomes the nominee, they're going to be relying on these types of demographics and splitting essentially these types of demographics and catering to them and speaking to them for a win in the electoral college and you know, a win in the election on that in November on whatever, I think, the 14th?
November 14th.
Anyway, I think sort of one final discussion point is, you know, I think we both agree on Hillary winning the Democratic nomination today. We both agree on Donald Trump winning the American, or at least not the nomination, but winning the day. And I think Donald Trump is going to pick up most delegates, but who's going to come second in the Republican nomination? That's where the money is going to be on.
Yeah, it's very crucial for the eventual, like, who the GOP leadership nominates for the
yes.
The general election. So
who do you think is going to come second? My money's on Cruz.
Yeah, I think Cruz, because they were mainly concerned with the South at the moment, and plus Alaska and Wyoming. Cruz has the most appeal to evangelical Christians, which gives him, I guess, preeminence over Rubio, who is more moderate, more foreign policy focused, and has less rhetorical appeal in comparison to Cruz. So I think Cruz will win, but I think even there, it's a matter of degree. You know, many of these polls have and election results have been kind of surprising mm-hmm. because, you know, pollsters predict this and this, but then something happens and the tables turn. So who knows?
I mean, if there's inclement weather at somewhere,
yeah.
You're going to see a different result. It should be interesting. We'll see whose voters are actually most motivated tonight. And we'll see what kind of speeches they give at the end of the night to see where, you know, to gauge where they will sit. What about Carson? Is he going to stay on or no? That's an interesting one. He's coming last, and he's come last in every contest they have had, and I don't know why he's still around.
Yeah, I think his campaign has died down. I think it's lost its fire. Like in the summer, he was very popular. Yeah. Around the beginning of August, but now it's just. I think people lost interest. People kind of.
Well, he said some crazy things.
Yeah, but I don't think it's just his what he said, but it's also his how he presents things. It's hard to stay excited with somebody who doesn't have that
charisma or appeal.
Charisma, yeah. So
we'll see what happens tonight.
So just to wrap this up, join us next week for another talk with Fadi Dawood and Alexi.